really have a text for this message, unless you want to read the entire book of Jeremiah, 1st and 2nd Kings, and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, which may take a little while. So I decided to use Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10, which is kind of the summation of the entire book. But the Lord is the true God. He is a living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. I think it might have been 2 or 3 months ago, I woke up in the morning and something told me to read the book of Jeremiah. Don't ask me why. Sat down and started reading the thing. I got riveted to it. And before I know, I knew it. I'd written it. I'd read it 2 or 3 times. And then I got to reading 1st and 2nd Chronicles and 1st and 2nd Kings for background to the historical parts of Jeremiah. And I was trying to get ready for this conference. I thought, well, I'm so excited about this book, I have to say something. But it would have been so big that I finally just cut it down to this mere catalog up here. So if you bear with me, I hope it's of some benefit to you. These are some thoughts I had about Jeremiah. You can draw your own conclusions. And if you pay attention carefully, I think you'll find out how to rightly divide any of the prophets or any other book in the Old Testament. So with that, I'll start. As believers, we must remember that all of Scriptures is for our use and not neglect the use of all the wisdom of God. Paul told us this in Romans 15:4 and in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scriptures might have hope. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. From these words, we learn the purpose of all Scripture is to work the hope of faith in the life of all believers. One meaning of the word prophet is one who tells the truth. Jeremiah was called of God at a specific time in history to speak the truth before a people who didn't care to hear it. He lived in a land where people outwardly observed the worship of God, but had hearts far from him. Both the life and conduct of this prophet provide a testimony of the truth of God in a society that has no use for the truth. Jeremiah was a man whose life could be described as valiant for the truth. Consider these words about the people surrounding the prophet, Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 9, 3 and 5. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth, for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. And they will deceive everyone his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Things surrounding the life of Jeremiah had an effect on his life, and a direct relationship to his message. Here are a few things around the life of this prophet that are important to remember. Jeremiah was a voice for God in a world that was changing quickly. During the years surrounding his lifetime, there was a rapid change in world powers. Many of these events are recorded in 2 Kings chapters 23 through 25 and in 2 Chronicles chapters 34 through 36. An overview of these events is helpful in understanding the life of this prophet. Here is a quick overview. In a short time of about 100 years around the life of this prophet, the world was dominated by three nations. Consider these things. Early in the life of Jeremiah, Assyria was a controlling world power. It is in the northern part of Mesopotamia, and its capital city was Nineveh. At that time, the Medes and the Persians, also known as the Babylonians, lived in the southern part of the Fertile Crescent and were vassal states controlled by Assyria. Assyria was challenged for its dominance on the world scene at that time by Egypt. At the time of Jeremiah, the northern kingdom of Israel had already been carried into captivity by Assyria as a result of the judgment of God. Jeremiah lived and prophesied in the southern kingdom of Judah. When he was young, Judah was ruled by the godly king Josiah, who ruled just after the death of King Manasseh. Manasseh was the most ungodly of all the kings of Judah. Following the ways of the heathen, he actively led Judah into idolatry, even erecting a heathen idol in the temple in Jerusalem. He persecuted many faithful people and the prophets of God in Judah, having many of them killed in the most barbarous ways. Some scholars believe that the reign of Manasseh may have been what Paul was referring to in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 36 and 38. Manasseh is said to be the one behind the death of the prophet of Isaiah, who was sawed in half. At the time of Jeremiah, Assyria soundly defeats Egypt, who threatened them as a world power. Josiah, the godly king of Judah, is killed at Megiddo during this conflict between Egypt and Assyria. Assyria, in conflict with the Scythians from the north and the Medes and the Persians from the south, is defeated, and its capital city of Nineveh is destroyed. The Medes and Persians, also known as the Babylonians, under King Nebuchadnezzar become the dominant world power, whose capital city is Babylon. God uses Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom to bring judgment upon several kingdoms of the world, including the kingdom of Judah. These are God's words from Jeremiah chapter 25. "Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and in hissing, and in perpetual desolations. And this whole land shall be a desolation, and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. In reading about the rise and fall of these world powers, I could see that God uses each of these kingdoms in a manner for his purpose and to accomplish his will. I'm sure that the rulers and peoples living in these kingdoms were unaware that God was doing this, for they were ignorant of the purpose and power of our God. We must remember that God still uses men and nations today for his own purpose and glory, even though most men are unaware of it. In Jeremiah chapter 18, the Lord tells Jeremiah to go to the potter's house and watch the potter at work. I believe this happened just after the death of King Josiah, the godly king of Judah, who had been killed in battle. Jeremiah greatly missed King Josiah, who had worked with him as an ally in an attempt to restore Judah back to the ways of God. The Lord comforts Jeremiah about the death of Josiah by directing him to the house of the potter. Here, through the example of the potter and his wheel, God shows him that all things are controlled by the Lord for his plan and purpose. Both kings, like Josiah, and the nations of men are for God's own glory and purpose. God told Jeremiah this in this chapter. "At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it?" These words from the wisdom of Solomon remain true even today. "Men's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way?" Jeremiah lived in the kingdom of Judah, which began as a result of the judgment of God upon the once united kingdom of Israel. Because of King Solomon's disobedience, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two kingdoms. 10 of the tribes of Israel became the northern kingdom, known as Israel. Its capital was the city of Samaria. The remaining two tribes of Benjamin and Judah, known as Judah, was the southern kingdom, with its capital the city of Jerusalem. The two kingdoms, although one people, sometimes were in conflict with one another. Often the message and warnings of the prophets of God could be applied to both Israel and Judah. Some of God's prophets, like Isaiah, prophesied in both kingdoms. Neither kingdom remained obedient to the call of God. The northern kingdom of Israel was carried into captivity by the nation of Assyria just a few years before the calling of Jeremiah to proclaim coming judgment upon Judah. We read this in 2 Kings chapter 17 about the disobedience of the people of God. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, for they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, "You shall not do this thing." Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, "Turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets." Jeremiah proclaimed to the people of Judah that what had come upon Israel at the hands of Assyria was soon to come upon them at the hands of the Babylonians. What is really interesting about this is that at that time, the Babylonians were not even then a nation. We read these words in Jeremiah chapter 5 about the coming judgment of God upon his disobedient people. First, the observations of Jeremiah. "And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God." These words are those of the Lord. "For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from afar, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation, whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say." Here are a few personal facts about the prophet Jeremiah that I found extremely interesting. First of all, about his family. Jeremiah lived in the town of Anathoth, which is 3 miles north of Jerusalem, populated by priests and their families from the tribes of Benjamin. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, and he was also a priest. The father of Jeremiah was Hilkiah, who, when Jeremiah was young, found the book of the law of God as he worked in the temple. This book had been forgotten by the people and lay neglected in the dark corner of the temple of God. Hilkiah brought the book to King Josiah, who directed it to be read to the people in 2 Kings chapters 22 and 23. This reading of the word of God had a deep effect on Jeremiah, although he was very young at the time. These words of Jeremiah may be a reference to this event of his youth. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts." Jeremiah received the call of God in the 13th year of Josiah's reign, when he was about 14 years old. He began to prophesy when he was about 20 years old and ministered about 55 years, dying in exile in Egypt around 75 years of age. His prophecies were recorded by Baruch, a scribe, and his assistant. Jeremiah foretold the coming judgment of God, the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the temple to the people of Judah. He also spoke out against the Gentile nations surrounding the kingdom of Judah. His visions covered events in the near future and things still to come. Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations after the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. Lamentations are sorrowful thoughts about the destruction of the holy city and the temple. One way to think about the book of Jeremiah is his life before the death of King Josiah, when Jeremiah could move and speak freely among the people of Judah and was often found in the temple. This is in chapters 1 through chapters 18, which are sometimes referred to as the temple chapters. After chapter 18 and the death of Josiah, the words of Jeremiah were not well received by those in power. They persecuted and imprisoned him, often forbidding him access to the temple. Jeremiah understood he was called of God for a specific purpose and would not change his message, no matter what physical harm they did to him. Consider these words from Jeremiah about his calling of God. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, and against the kings of Judah, and against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. These words tell us the source of the faith and power of Jeremiah. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. As believers today, these words of Jeremiah have similarities to our own relationship to God through the gospel. Like Jeremiah, our relationship to God began in eternity when God decreed we would be called to faith through the gospel. Remember, our faith is an eternal faith, beginning and ending with an eternal God. Like Jeremiah, we were humbled when we learned of God's calling us according to his plan and purpose. Like Jeremiah, it is our responsibility to consume the Word of God and to live and speak its truth. The life of Jeremiah is in some ways a type of the life of Christ. Think about this. His name means Yahweh establishes, or Yahweh will be established. Yahweh is the most powerful name used for God. It means I am and refers to the one eternal living God. The Jews were so reverent of this name that they never used the entire term, referring to Almighty God only as Yah in their earliest writings. Jesus came to earth among his people as the eternal Almighty God in the flesh. Like Jeremiah, he proclaimed the truth to a people who would not believe. Today, we live among men who refuse to believe the words of God revealed through his servant Paul. Paul wrote this about Jesus to the Philippians. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jeremiah, like Jesus, spoke the truth among a people unwilling to hear or obey God's word. Paul is proclaiming that day when Jesus shall be established as Yahweh, the Almighty, Eternal God, before all men. Today, as in the days of Jeremiah, men still despise the truth of the Word of God. Consider the willingness of men to accept any version of Scripture for God's Word. This begins with their contempt for the truth of God. Jeremiah brought a message of judgment upon the kingdom of Judah for their refusal to act upon the truth of God. Jesus, just before sending out the 12 to bear testimony of him among Israel, said this in Matthew chapter 10. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I believe he may have been speaking prophetically about the coming judgment on a people who had no desire for the truth. The just judgment would be fulfilled through the mouth of his servant Paul in Acts chapter 28. In this fellowship, we know the importance of rightly dividing the word. We understand the difference between what is written directly to us in this age of grace and what is written for us in the past ages of the truth of God. When we hear something from the Word of God, we know if it has been rightly divided or not. There are many men in the world today that don't know the difference between truth for our admonition and truth written directly to us as members of the church, which is the heavenly body of Christ. Because of this, they often mix all the teachings of Scriptures together and end up in a confusion that confuses believers and is unedifying to their faith. When not rightly divided, the writings of the Old Testament prophets become twisted into speaking about things they don't really say in an effort to include modern-day thoughts into the things of the past. A practice of some men is to include their nation and the people they like as in favor with God, and nations or people they don't care for as out of favor with God. These men often twist the Scriptures and contort them to their own pleasing. Many years ago, I heard this statement by R.E. Rhodes about prophetic things in the Old Testament. I believe this is absolutely true and must be remembered when reading the Old Testament prophets. He said this: all prophecy has to do with the nation of Israel and earthly things, and has absolutely nothing to do with the church and heavenly things. The conclusion of the right division of Scripture demands that this statement is true. By not understanding how to rightly divide Scripture, men place themselves and the nations in today's world into positions they don't have. The result is wrong conclusions. We all remember these words from R.E. Rhodes: a wrong premise always leads to a wrong conclusion. In Jeremiah's day, the people of Judah refused to believe their God was bringing judgment upon them. Like many men today, they consider themselves favored of God and refuse to examine themselves in the light of the truth. They only heard what they wanted to hear. Here is something to think about from Jeremiah chapter 36. After the death of King Josiah, the prophet Jeremiah is in prison and cannot bring God's message to the people. He sends the truth of God to the temple by his servant Baruch. Baruch was to read the words of God from a scroll on which they were written. The princes of Judah demanded that this book be read before King Jehoiakim, who at that time was warming himself by a fire in the hearth of his winter house. Hearing truth he didn't like, this evil king cut those pages out of the book and cast them into the fire. He kept only the words he liked, not words that spoke of the judgment of God coming upon those in disobedience. The truth of the Lord is not destroyed by this. for Jeremiah soon provided another book of the truth of God. The wicked king, Jehoiakim, believed the eternal truth of God could be changed or altered by the hands of men. This is an example of wrong division of God's word. Jehoiakim, not liking what he heard, disregarded what he didn't agree with, cut it out, cast it into the fire. He kept only the parts he liked, with words that spoke favorably of him and his people. Men handle the truth of God today in the same way. Contemporary versions of the Bible are based on thoughts and teachings of men, changing or leaving out parts they don't like. Nevertheless, the eternal truth of God still stands, and men like Jehoiakim still resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And I might add, we have to guard ourselves so that we just don't like the things, we sometimes read things we don't like, but they're still the Word of God. In the Old Testament scriptures, look for these things to help in right division. Commandments, statutes, precepts, principles, and testimonies. Commandments, statutes, precepts, principles, and testimonies. I hope I can define them so you can use them. I shall attempt to. Yahweh, the Eternal One, gave Israel his commandments, which are decrees never to be questioned from the highest authority. A result of these commandments are statutes, which are laws that govern men in obedience to the commandments of God. Commandments and statutes of God are given to establish the authority and rule of God over unruly men. For example, God commands men not to kill other men. Mankind has laws and statutes that prohibit murder. Precepts and principles are the attitudes and ideas that govern men who are in obedience to the commandments and statutes of God. For example, it is against our precepts and principles to commit murder because it violates a commandment of God and the statutes of men. The last thing to remember is testimonies, which are the outward actions of men in response to the first four. The foundation of the commandments of God are the Ten Commandments, which may be divided up in this way. The first five deal with a man's relationship to God, and the last five deal with a man's relationship to other men. We understand that if a man's relationship with God is right, his relationship with other men will be also. The way the Ten Commandments are related provide a picture of the relationship of the commandments and statutes of God with the precepts and principles of God, which are the ideas and attitudes of men. The first five commandments are about a man's relationship with God, representing commandments and statutes. The second five are about a man's relationship with other men, representing precepts and principles. A man who is obedient to the first five will obey the second five, representing our testimony before God and other men. I know that's kind of difficult to swallow, but you will get the notes and think it over. It took me a long time to condense that, so I hope it was helpful. Precepts and principles are found in the Old Testament by considering the manner in which people in that economy live their lives. They are long-standing truth, and obedience to them is present in the hearts of the godly in every economy of God. Here is an example. Lot was a man who living in a world where men around him practiced idolatry and lived in ignorance of the truth. Lot lived among them as a man obedient to the precepts and principles of God. He kept himself separate from the practice of the heathen. Peter refers to Lot as a just man in 2 Peter chapter 2. This is because Lot, although living in the wicked environment of Sodom, didn't follow the lifestyle of the men around him or worship their gods. The principles and precepts of his life were in agreement with the statutes and commandments of God. Our actions and practice are the best testimony before ungodly men. Believers today face daily spiritual conflict in the ideas and attitudes of our minds, which are constantly bombarded with the fleshly and carnal ideas of men. We must realize that we are at war, striving to replace the thoughts and ideas of men with the precepts and principles of God. The Old Testament prophets provide examples for us in their words and lives of the ideas and attitudes God requires from all of his people. We must not forget that these things reflect the very nature and character of God and should be found in our own renewed nature. There are many examples of the precepts and principles of God found in the life of Jeremiah. They are indications of the nature and character of God and are my responsibility as a believer today. Here are some examples from Jeremiah to give you the idea of what to look for. There are many more to find. Jeremiah was a man that understood his very life depended upon the sovereignty and power of God. His life is an example of a man who confidently relied on the sovereignty of his God. From the very beginning of his ministry, God reassured him his life would be preserved, no matter what his countrymen said or did. Jeremiah was to faithfully proclaim the truth, even though it would not be well received. Early in his ministry, he was supported by the godly King Josiah, who reinstituted the worship of God and destroyed many of the places where idolatry was practiced. This godly king changed the outward appearance of the people, but he could not change their hearts. We all know that you cannot legislate morals. After the death of Josiah, Jeremiah often faced the anger of the people and the wrath of their leaders. The people's hearts were not in obedience to God, and they didn't care for the message of his prophet. Even when Jeremiah found himself cast into the deepest pit, he didn't despair. He trusted in the sovereign care of his God and rested in the promise of God to provide for and protect his prophet. The life Jeremiah lived in obedience to the word of God and dependent upon the provision and care of God is an example for us today. These words from Jeremiah chapter 1 and 9 are illustrated by his life. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Jeremiah was a man of faith, called to proclaim the truth before unfaithful men. It is faith in the words that God gave him that gave him the confidence to be obedient to his calling. Jeremiah understood and rested in the sovereignty of his God. His confident faith came from understanding this about his God. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. Forasmuch as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. faith of Jeremiah stood fully on God's word, and he lived according to God's purpose and providence. What a powerful example to us of what our faith should be. In Jeremiah's day, the people of Judah outwardly appeared to be in obedience to the things of God, but inwardly they had disobedient hearts toward the truth of God. God had provided them a righteous and godly leader in King Josiah, who feared and respected the truth. He cleansed the temple and restored the worship of the Lord in the land. He removed the places of idolatry and tried to restore the kingdom into obedience to the things of God. In spite of the efforts of this godly king, the people's hearts were not right with God. They may have outwardly looked obedient, but had cold and hardened hearts to the truth. Think about these words of truth proclaimed by Jeremiah. They bend their tongues like the bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth, for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil. They know not me, saith the Lord. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord are these. If ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, and if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words to no profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods, whom ye know not? Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth, and is burned up like a wilderness, that none passeth through? And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. With these words, the people of Judah didn't walk in obedience to the principles and precepts of the law of God, but after their own imaginations. They proudly believed they were entitled to God's favor, yet continued in disobedience to the precepts and principles of God. They didn't show compassion and empathy for the poor and needy, or for the strangers living among them. They felt no responsibility to be kind and merciful towards others and be reflections of the long-suffering and mercy of God. They prided themselves on having the outward evidence of God's presence among them in the temple of the Lord, but they had no evidence of the presence of God in the inward parts of their hearts. With these words, Jeremiah tells them that outward evidence is not always a sign of an obedient heart. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord are these. If ye amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Jeremiah is telling them that although they have the outward sign of the presence of the Lord in the temple, the real sign of the presence of the Lord is found in obedience in their hearts to the precepts and principles of God. After the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem and the temple of God and carried many of the people away into captivity, God used the Babylonians to show mercy and empathy for the poor and unfortunate people in the land. We read this in Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 10, which takes place shortly after the destruction of Jerusalem and the captivity of Zedekiah, king of Judah. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left of the poor and of the people, which had nothing in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. I understand that God deals with men on an individual basis today, yet I believe the warnings of this prophet still have relevance. Today, many men have replaced the true word of God with the teachings and ideas of men that are not pure in doctrine after the truth of God. Like in Jeremiah's day, men would rather follow their vain imaginations instead of the truth. It upsets me today when I see an increasing attitude among the people in our nation to not show empathy towards people who are in need, who are very poor, or strangers from other lands seeking refuge among us. I can't see how this attitude is in obedience to the precepts and principles of our merciful God. Remembering these words of warning from Jeremiah. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. In other words, God will punish all men for disobedience to the principles and precepts of his word. Brethren, we must examine the attitudes and ideas we have hidden in our hearts to bring them to obedience to the precepts and principles of God. The gospel is pictured by precept and principle in the writings of the prophet Jeremiah. Here are some examples. First, the conviction of sin in the ungodly. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Next, a sinner's acknowledgement of sin and a desire for mercy is pictured in these words. And I will give them an heart to know me. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Now, the free grace and mercy of God for the guilty is pictured in these words. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. And finally, the responsibility of those redeemed through grace and given a renewed heart is found in these words. Thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness and deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor and do no wrong. Do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place. As I read through Jeremiah, I was delighted to find many other examples of the grace of the gospel and precept and principle. I know if you search for them, you will too. Jeremiah has a great amount of truth in it that is important to us today in this age of grace. Many things about the mercy and judgment of God are eternal and are the responsibility of men in every age of truth. There are many similarities between the situation Jeremiah was in and the things surrounding us today. Here are three of them. First, Jeremiah was a voice for truth in a land where men had no use for the truth. Today, very few men will look into the basis for the many and different versions of the Bible. They will accept anything for the truth. Today, all men want of Scripture is something to soothe their conscience, so that they may continue after the thoughts of their own imaginations. How many men have any desire to bring themselves into obedience to the whole truth of God? I am amazed at how readily men today leave the precepts and principles of the mercy of God. I have observed that men will throw aside all empathy, all ethics, and virtue for a few dollars or for fleeting prosperity. They proudly forget the mercy of God for the poor and the needy among them. They claim the blessings of God upon this nation, forgetting the real blessing of God is found in godly attitudes and personal character. This was the situation that Jeremiah was in. He was to pronounce the coming judgment of God on a people wholly given over to the pride of self, a people like us who have forgotten the mercy and loving kindness of God upon undeserving men. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, with no desire to obey the precepts and principles of God. Men today have forgotten that their leaders and their nations are nothing in the hand of Almighty God. Many men today take great pride in our nation, boastfully proclaiming themselves favored of God, but having a heart not humbled before Him, a heart with no desire to obey the precepts and principles of God. They have forgotten these words of Jeremiah. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide by his indignation. We must strive for obedience to the same precepts and principles of God required of God's people in the days of Jeremiah. Our ideas, attitudes, and choices must reflect the eternal things of the character of God. Paul reminded Timothy of these things. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after. They have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Brethren, we must lay hold on eternal life, which is our calling.